I'm speaking today with Barbara Radnofsky, the Democratic candidate for Attorney General in Texas, and we're going to talk a little bit about the possibility of a lawsuit by attorneys general around the country, including Texas, against Wall Street firms in the wake of the financial collapse. Barbara, you put out a release on Monday calling on Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott to file such a suit. Tell me a little bit about what you had in mind for this.
The complaint, which was posted at WallStreet.com, provides a framework where you could easily tailor it to your state and to the specific acts you'd like to add in order to tomorrow file a lawsuit against AIG, the big Wall Street banks, the ratings companies, and any other defendants. All you have to do is look at this morning's Wall Street Journal to see another one that should be sued immediately for the massive economic harm they caused under 2008 that literally took down the economy and the effects that it's had in Texas. $18 billion to start with, according to the forensic CPA we've provided, along with other experts, to the Attorney General.
Now, why is this just coming up now? I mean, obviously there's an election going on, but, you know, as you say, the collapse occurred 2 years ago. We're actually almost running up against the statute of limitations for filing such an action. Why is this just coming up now?
That's right. Well, I've been working on it for about 6 months. I cannot wait any longer because the negligence, as you say, the negligence action must be filed before September for the 2 year statute of limitations for negligence. Why no other attorney general has thought of doing it, it is likely they've thought of it and buried it away because it's very settled law, over 100 years of Supreme Court cases. So I figure that the ones who've chosen not to go forward with it either haven't thought of it, are severely politically handicapped by influences that include large donations like our Attorney General has, almost $1.6 million from financially related interests. Or they're too young to remember the success of the tobacco litigation using the same doctrines.
Let's talk a little bit about that for those of us who may be a little bit too young to remember that very clearly. What was the basis of those lawsuits, and how was it preceded, and what ultimately happened?
The tobacco lawsuits were filed under a theory by the state called quasi-sovereign interest, which really is a fancy way of saying that every state has an interest that they have the right to protect in the physical and economic well-being of the people. It's as straightforward as that. A state is allowed to protect the prosperity and the physical and economic well-being of its people. And that was the basis for the tobacco litigation, where the state successfully sued for hundreds of billions, and I say billions with a B, Charles, successfully obtained hundreds of billions of dollars in tobacco litigation. In Texas, the most famous decision from a court was State of Texas against American Tobacco Company, coming out of the Eastern District of Texas, where the court made very clear that money damages were allowed, that the common law theories were good ones, and based on established Supreme Court law. Again, it really goes back 100 years now.
All right. So I guess the question is, I mean, as you know, after you put out your release, spokesman for Attorney General Greg Abbott replied saying that he and some other AGs have been working on this, and that, you know, they just haven't gotten around to announcing anything yet. What's your take on that?
Well, the actual words that the spokesman said varied depending on which reporter he was speaking to, but the Houston Chronicle quote that was put out by the Houston Chronicle blog, I think it was Mary Flood, the legal writer, said they had been investigating illegal activities along with the federal government. In other words, the Department of Justice, and they said 30 states had been involved in some investigations. However, this has nothing to do with a civil investigation if it's a criminal investigation. It absolutely has nothing to do. A civil lawsuit does not require the evidence that a criminal action does. And as a matter of fact, just on June 20th, just 2 days ago, there was an AP article that said 92 Texans had been charged in a federal prosecution activity, which might be the same one the Attorney General is speaking about. It was called Operation Stolen Dreams, and they got 92 statewide, but they got 500 arrests nationwide since March, and it talked about a probe of about 3 months' duration. So that may be what the AG is talking about. But regardless of whether or not the AG has decided to clamp on to a federal U.S. government investigation, it has nothing to do with the need for a state civil lawsuit. By the way, in the articles about Eric Holder's press conference and about the activities of the federal government, even in Texas, there is no mention of the Attorney General activity. So whatever the AG is doing, he can say he's doing, but it has nothing to do with civil investigation or, more importantly, filing a civil lawsuit. He has yet to comment. He's just avoiding it. He is hiding behind the skirts of the federal government.
Okay. I mean, I'm not an attorney, and, you know, the political implications of all this are obvious, so help me out here. Have you had your brief evaluated by objective legal experts, and what is their opinion of it?
I have several legal experts who didn't just help evaluate what I'm doing, they participated in it. For example, on the issue of standing, the right to bring the action, it was discussed and the doctrine approved by Dean Erwin Chemerinsky of the UC Irvine Law School. On process issues and procedure issues, we have the wonderful assistance and great brain of Professor Charles Silver of UT Law School. On RICO issues, the Racketeering Act and its civil implications, we have equally brilliant input and approval from Professor Susan Klein of UT Law School. As far as whether this is a good doctrine and a very viable lawsuit, we have the complete approval and urging of former Attorney General Mark White, who, as you know, was also the former governor of Texas. And in terms of legal on-the-ground help and approval of both the lawsuit and the brief, we have lawyers across the state, including Larry Jo Doherty here in Houston, where I'm sitting, and just as importantly in Dallas, the great plaintiff's lawyer, Steve Maloof. By the way, like I've offered, Mr. Maloof has offered to handle the litigation at no fee, as I have.
Okay. So just to wrap this up, if such a suit were to be filed tomorrow, how do you see it playing out? How long do you think it would take? What would Texas reasonably be expected to get out of it? Project forward.
Well, if the suit were filed as it must be before September to trigger our rights under negligence, the first thing that would happen is that the defendants would immediately take it to their insurance companies, because the allegations of negligence, as Attorney General White has pointed out, the allegations of negligence will trigger insurance and bring in all of the defendants' insurance monies. My guess is the first thing that would happen, there'd be a big meeting between the Attorney General and the lawyers for the Attorney General and the lawyers and the representatives of the insurance companies of the defendants. And they would immediately begin settlement talks. Now, of course, there would be fraud allegations, and there would likely be separate discussions about what the exposure would be on the fraud allegations. The RICO actions and others mean that the defendants, the banks, the ratings companies, and the AIG would have significant exposure for penalties. And keep in mind, the lawsuit also allows Texas to demand things like clawbacks of the unreasonable bonuses and the excessive activities and payment schemes. So there'd have to be discussions about how to work it all out. And of course, there'd be the usual flurry of legal filings, including motions to dismiss, which happens in every case. And that's why it's so important that I already have provided the opinions in the legal memo and in our press release of the lawyers who say this indeed would win over a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
And ultimately, as far as numbers, the $18 billion is a conservative estimate because, of course, the damage is ongoing. And we have to consider who the most damaged are in this kind of, most damaged people are in this kind of instance. It's the children of Texas who are the most affected by the Great Recession. So the first effects are things like hunger, illness. When you cut back child protective services, we know the effect is child abuse and death. And, of course, we know the physical harms of foreclosures and abandoned homes and the blights of our neighborhoods. So there's both physical injury and, of course, every Texan can probably testify about the economic injuries the Great Recession's caused us.
All right. Barbara Ragnowski, thank you very much for talking to me about this today.
Thank you.